Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, and Alec Medford, the famous Mike Bacsik. His throat is still bothering him because of his no good son, I believe is the what he would say.
Just cut it out.
If he could.
Throat or no throat.
Hey,
get this done.
I'm not in a position to criticize anyone for missing work because their throat feels bad. So, Godspeed.
One time, Mike Zimmer just said, rip the eyeball out. Right?
I've thought about that.
If I need to have another one,
yeah.
Just take the whole damn thing. Just rip out his throat. Let him get to work.
I might need to go over how the voice box works with you a little bit later.
Ripping throats here.
Okay. Like MacGruber. All right. It is. Hey, have you seen the movie MacGruber? 877-881-1053.
Dude, he has a mover. He just walks up with three fingers and grabs your throat.
And if so,
I
have two follow-up questions. Why is it so funny? And two, why do you not have better things to do with your life?
True.
Now, I can ask that as somebody who's seen MacGruber at least four times. All right? So I don't have a good explanation for why I don't have better things to do with my life. All right. Let's get right into Cowboys coaching stuffs. And then I also want to ask you guys about the saga of Liam Cohen. And what have you used your child as an excuse for?
Oh.
Now, Alec, you will find that this comes in very handy. Now, some people, if you ever get married, or quite frankly, you don't need to be married to have a kid. Trust me, I know. If you ever have a kid, people will tell you, oh, it's about the love and blah, blah, blah. That's great. And I appreciate all of that, too. But you can use the kid, at least for like the first couple years, as your excuse to get out of anything. Mm-hmm. And that is what Liam Cohen did when he went down to Jacksonville because they fired their incompetent GM. And he was like, all right, I'm back in. But he had already agreed to a deal for an extension as the highest paid coordinator in the league with Tampa Bay, contingent on the fact that he didn't talk with Jacksonville again. So he was like, hey, I'm at the doctor with my kid and he's sick. And he goes, I might still want to look into the Jacksonville deal. Okay, I got to go. And so everyone found out he already was talking with and probably in Jacksonville when this happened. So as a side question, have you ever used your kids as an excuse to get out of something? And if so, what?
Never.
You are a liar.
I learned it from Kevin.
I was going to say, I know you did that with me. All right, so.
You're the one that taught me.
I know.
Oh, the kid.
So I can't be mad. And that's the
thing. You don't even have to give a reason. You just go, oh, the kid.
Because nobody asks a follow-up question. And this is the one you could take advantage of. If you're men out there, you can't take advantage of women problems because people get scared. And if you say, oh, I have some lady problems, people don't ask a follow-up question if they're men because we're too damn scared. You don't have that advantage. However, if you have a kid, you're like, oh, man. Something came up with Noah. Oh, I hope everything's okay. You didn't even have to say he's sick or what specifically is wrong with him. You just mentioned the kid's name and people back up and they're like, whoa.
Oh, Lucy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And they're like,
all I got to say.
They're like, oh my gosh, bless you.
How's she doing, by the way?
Yeah. And then they move the conversation on. You don't have to explain nothing. All right. In the meantime, there was hope for some. We gave it some cursory acknowledgement yesterday, knowing that this is probably a smokescreen, but the word leaked out.
Which is different than a smoke show.
That's true. There, and especially in this case.
Yep.
That Pete Carroll had talked with the Dallas Cowboys. Some people were like, ooh, does that mean maybe Pete Carroll's coming to Dallas? Does that mean Brian Schottenheimer's just been talking about what would you think about staying as the offensive coordinator under Pete Carroll? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we started building a team around Pete Carroll. Like, that's exactly. A lot of people started doing that.
And we did not really talk about that because it felt very distractionary.
Yeah.
And here you see, not even 24 hours later, Pete Carroll has been hired as the new head coach of the Raiders.
Yeah.
So if you were hoping for that, it's out the door. And I think we should throw focus back on You know it. I know it. We know it. It's just about a done deal with Schottenheimer, and you should just start to accept it.
And more than anything, I would say that Pete Carroll was probably using it as leverage with the Raiders.
I absolutely
could. Hey, I need a name. I need somebody to go ahead and get this done quickly. I want this Raiders job. It's on the coast that I'm pretty well known to be around. So yes. I would like to be over here still. I want the job, but if they're going to drag their feet on it, you if they think they like you, you want to get it done quickly, right? Like, hey, you don't want to give them any time to be like, oh, we found somebody else to leverage against you.
Yes.
You don't want to give them any time to be like, hey, we actually found somebody we like more. So immediately his agent knows how to play this game. Got to talk with Jerry Jones. That's like when Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, David Cohn, they would all use the Rangers as leverage for the Yankees. You know, they would always do that. So that's what that was. So here you are still in a situation where you're trying to have the conversation about what this team looks like. And I have a lot of questions about what it looks like under Schottenheimer.
And that's fair. I want to make it very clear. Acceptance doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right.
You know, like I'm saying, we should all accept the fact that it's looking like really, really, really likely that Brian Schottenheimer is going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. That doesn't mean you have to like it whatsoever. We talked about that yesterday. I have all kinds of issues with this hiring. I just think like we should try to accept and kind of go about your business knowing that that's probably going to be the
outcome. There are still names out there.
Yeah. Okay. So who are the names out there that realistically could be here?
Names that I don't know about. Like John Gruden's name exists, right?
Yeah, that's a tough sell, man.
There are a lot of tough sells. Dion's name is still in that conversation.
Okay.
There's just a lot still that there's...
And we think Dion was a publicity thing, too, where he was like, hey, I'd like more money at Colorado because our budget's running low. And yeah.
But if you're Dion, they haven't done a formal interview, right? That was just a phone call.
Correct.
If you're Dion, a formal interview kind of shows that you're willing to leave. And Colorado's like, okay, what do we start doing here, right? Like they start thinking, now Dallas doesn't want you. You don't have that leverage to raise your salary with Colorado. So with Dion, it's probably smart to just hang out in the balance here and just be like, I'll wait it out and see how things go. I'm not losing anything here. If Jerry wants me, he will come call me and say, let's get this thing done. But I'm not going to take an interview on something that I don't know is a sure thing.
Yeah.
Didn't you say you've never interviewed for a job that you didn't get? And that's how I think Dion's probably looking at this is I'm not interviewing for something I'm not getting.
He might have said that. I've definitely interviewed for jobs that I didn't get in the fallout of when I got fired from Blockbuster.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You could tell really quickly, oh, why did you get let go from your last job? Half the people were like, that's badass. Half the people, our interview wrapped up really quickly after that.
Kick somebody's window out.
Yeah, I have 100% been on job interviews.
Great meeting.
Yeah,
you.
They're like, oh, yeah, well, we'll take a look. Yeah. See if you can be the OC.
We have some other candidates.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is,
okay,
that's tough.
G-Bag was discussing this yesterday, and I really enjoyed their conversation, and I always do. But this idea that maybe Jerry is ready to roll the dice on something, but Steven is very much, no, this is the conservative window we're working in. This is how we're playing with the salary cap. And that he's convinced Jerry not to go out there and make a big splash. I thought that was an interesting conversation yesterday on how they were going about that.
Because if you think about it, you would want to make the crazy splash with the next hire, right? Because right now you are logged kind of into salary cap hell, for lack of a better term. Although I am very aware, we both are, of how if you really wanted to push like all
Fish
the way
said
in,
you can get $100 million open.
And I think it's close to that. Like the numbers I was looking at, I thought it was probably closer to like 85-ish, but I get the point is you could create a lot of salary cap for this year if you really wanted to. But I think the Cowboys, with their slow, painful, terribly boring reset of the salary cap, now's the time to hire somebody who's blasé. And maybe Brian Schottenheimer will turn out to be awesome and we'll revisit this interview and be like, sorry, I called you blasé, dude. But like, it feels like when they reset the, they were still working on resetting the salary cap last year. They're going to do the same thing this year. I think you can make a pretty strong argument they'll do the same thing next year. Why not have a coach in play that can more or less keep the status quo? And what I mean by that is stay kind of in the mix for the playoffs. Like, I know in reality, the Cowboys were four games off the playoffs, right? But they were in the mix kind of for a chunk of the season. Do I think that's a ridiculous way to do business? Yes. Yes, I do. But the Cowboys clearly are comfortable with it. So do that. And then when you've kind of got your feet under you for the salary cap, then you make the, I don't know if it would be Dion Witten, whoever your like out of left field candidate is to be the head coach, do that when they have the opportunity to maybe pick their own quarterback, or they have the opportunity to have a more streamlined salary cap underneath them. Like, why not go with that? So that's why this makes sense to me. That doesn't mean I love it, but I get why they would do this.
You're going to have to love it. From the 682, actually do believe Jerry meant all in, but then the cameras went off and Steven was like, eh, not so much.
That is, man, I'm telling you, that's what we should shift our questions to.
Like, Jerry's still doing the, hey, I'm running all this stuff. And Steven's like, yeah, but I mean, we're letting you do these things.
All right. Because of y'all, because of what Corey just said, I'm going to shift my mindset. When we talk to Steven Jones this year, I'm going to be like, hey, do you really run all of the things? And like, what's the percentage that Jerry says something that you're like, just let him have it?
That's an interesting approach.
I am dead serious. I'm really curious.
With that conversation, that's a really interesting approach with, hey, when you made this decision, when you did this, to ask him that way and see how he answers it. Because he has been open about a lot of the things that have gone on behind the scenes and joking around about it. You know, yeah. Like he'll take jokes with us and stuff. So that's an interesting way whenever camp hits a long time from now, but it'll actually be up on us a lot faster than we think.
From the 214, he ain't going to tell you. Fair enough. Look.
That's true.
I think that us and the G-Bag Nation probably lead the world for most questions ever deflected by Steven Jones and Jerry Jones. And Sean and RJ are in that mix as well. I'm not going to argue that as well. But that doesn't mean we're going to keep trying. I think one of our jobs, Corey, that we have both been frustrated and amused by is trying to find out clever ways to re-ask the same question without it apparently being the same question and getting shut down. Because especially Jerry likes to go off on these weird tangents that you're like, that has nothing to do with what I just asked. And then you gotta ask it again.
Yeah, you just gotta ask it a different way and hope that he lands something
yes.
for you. This is another, I can't say whether or not this is real to me, but maybe he's waiting to see if Kellen's available from the 757.
And that's a fair point, because when they didn't win, obviously you lost the opportunity to have like that secondary interview in the last couple of days. I can't rule that out. I don't think that's what's happening. But if you wanted a viable answer, it's not Witten or Dion or Gruden or whatever. It's let's wait it out and let's talk with Kellen again.
Yeah, I did want to. It is Shout Out Friday.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And my boy JP messaged me and said, hey, our Crandall High School cheerleaders are now the sixth time state champions.
Woo!
Sixth in the last 7 years. Also won national championship in the same time frame. If it were basketball or football, it'd be all over the place. Would you mind shouting them out? So Crandall High School cheerleaders, congratulations on your sixth state championship. Are y'all now going for the national title? Is that the next step, or is it done? I don't know the
Absolutely.
Schedule. Oh, whoa. I appreciate that.
Utah says so, it's done.
Go get it. We'll keep an eye on you.
Now, on the other front, we touched on it. The Liam Cohen saga fascinates me to no end. Rick Stroud started this off. At least that's the first place I saw it. I apologize if somebody else had it sooner. NFL Stroud. To be clear, Liam Cohen contacted head coach Todd Bowles around 5 p.m. today. He said he had been with one of his kids who had taken ill at a doctor's office. He then briefly managed the Jaguars situation, saying he wanted to look back into it. Now, some people believe even before that, after the Jags fired their GM, Trent Baalke, who it feels like pretty much everyone thinks is not good.
He's the worst
at his job.
Is what we hear.
Yeah. That that's why Liam Cohen was back in, because we talked about it yesterday. Liam Cohen was the guy they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever happened, now it feels fairly apparent that the GM is what happened. So either
he told them, he was like, I don't want to work for that guy.
Yes.
Is that what I think? Hey, look, I like your organization. When I started asking you questions, y'all asked me a bunch of questions. Now it's my turn to start asking you questions. He didn't have the answers I wanted, so I don't want to work for that guy.
Agreed. And so by that point, the word is he had either A, talked with Jacksonville again, or B, was in Jacksonville already instead of the doctors with his sick kid to do this. And so Diana Rossini said he got on the plane to Jacksonville after the Jags ownership called him directly and said, we will let you pick the general manager and we'll pay you Ben Johnson level money over multiple years. So the reason for the secrecy, that's where Albert Breer comes in. And he said the Buccaneers offered Cohen a 3-year deal on Monday to make their OC the highest paid coordinator in NFL history. It was contingent on him not taking the second interview with the Jags, which is the reason for the secrecy on the Jacksonville visit. So either way, it feels safe to assume that Liam Cohen will not be back with Tampa Bay. Like, I think he's going to take the Jags job. But if he didn't, it feels like maybe this cloak and dagger act is probably going to not have him in the good graces of the Bucs either.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, that's one of those things, Kevin, where it was Josh McDaniels thought it was a bit of a flake because the way he handled the Colts situation. This, however, I like more for him because he's demanding that they do better at the GM spot. He's like, look, I want to do my job, but y'all from the top down have been poor. And that's what it sounds like to me. So this is actually a better situation than I think the Josh McDaniels thing was. That was just a dude who just was a flake for no reason. But it is weird, though, to kind of put somebody on blast like that. Like, you just told everybody, hey, this is the guy. Now, any of his friends that you might work with later, they're sending you packing.
Okay. That was close.
There was going to be a creek, and it had stuff in it.
Once again, who am I to complain about such things? It feels like if you're ever going to have confidence that you got the job, though, now would be the time when they said, we'll let you pick the GM and we're going to give you the Ben Johnson money. Then I might call him up and be like, yo, I'm going down to Jacksonville to check it out. If it doesn't work out, I'll come back with you guys, but I'm looking to move on up.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. It is indeed a shout out Friday from the 214. Can I get a shout out to my wife, Emily? She got the promotion of her dreams, and we want to let her know she is an amazing wife, mother, and we support you. That is a delightful shout out for the day. Coming up next,
meet Emily.
What?
If she's that amazing, don't you want to meet amazing people? Say hi. Get to know them a little bit.
Uh-huh. Do I need why to read all that text for you again?
Okay.
Amazing wife.
Yeah. Exactly. Mother. Congratulations to this guy.